You got to sow a seed and you got to have enough faith and you got to do all these things and maybe you'll get something good in the end. No, I'm sorry. God is not an ATM machine.
The biggest lie you were ever told is that if it doesn't line up with scripture, it's not from God. Mm.
So let me ask you the question. Does God change his mind? Well, maybe this will help you. Well, welcome to Real Talk with Jordan Riley, where the real talk does not come from me. It comes directly from God's Word. And before we get started today, please consider subscribing to our channel, giving this a thumbs up, and supporting what we do by going to realtalkwithjordan.com. On today's episode, many false teachers these days will say that God changes his mind. I mean, well, does he? Because if he does, then we're in big trouble and we have a lot of things to worry about. But if he doesn't, then we can truly rest in the promises written and contained in his word. So we're going to take the time to get to the bottom of this and show you what the truth actually is. So are you ready? Let's go.
God does not change his purpose, but God changes his mind.
You sure about that?
When God wants something done, he may have a covenant with you. But if he notices that you're not really complying, he will go the back door and find somebody else. His purpose will be done, but he can change his mind concerning you.
Well, that was false prophet Lovie Elias, who goes around telling us what God supposedly told him, all while twisting scripture and ripping it right out of context. Oh boy.
Everybody says sex before marriage is a sin, right? Mm-hmm. Show me one verse that says that. God doesn't care about your sin anymore. The biggest lie you were ever told is that if it doesn't line up with scripture, it's not from God. Mm.
Please do not listen to anything this man has to say. But let's see what the Bible actually says, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. I love that verse. And you're going to see a theme in a few of these verses I want to share with you today. Also in James 1, verse 17, it says, Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Right there, James helps us to see a bit of the character and nature of our God. He does not change. And finally, Numbers 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So right there, you can clearly see that God is unchanging and unchangeable. He is also all wise. So he cannot change his mind in the sense of realizing a mistake or backtracking or trying a new approach. I mean, let that just sink in for just a second. When the Lord speaks something, it will happen. That should bring great security and peace to your heart today. And sadly, we live in a world where there's not very much security. Actually, there's a lot of insecurity, which is why so many people are stressed out and worried and depressed. But again, I want to remind you of the truth today. Please also understand that God is not sitting in heaven, you know, with a plan B. He's not wringing his hands, oh, I don't know what to do. You know, I didn't see that coming. No, not at all. I like to say it this way. There are no oops or uh-ohs in God's vocabulary. Think about that for a second. Also, one more verse. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, So will my word be which goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what pleases me and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So with this in mind, I want to share with you six promises that you need to focus on today and let them bring peace to your heart and joy to your soul. Because if Jesus has chosen to save you, then you are in Christ right now, currently. And these promises, these six things that I'm going to share with you, are things that you should be dwelling on daily. Number one, God's mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 24 reminds us of this. It talks about his loving kindness never ceases, his compassions never fail, and his mercies are new every morning. Let that sink in. What an amazing God that we serve. He is so gracious, so compassionate, so kind. I mean, his mercies are new every morning. Are you kidding me? I can't even wrap my head around that. That is so amazing. Number two, all the hard things in our lives have a divine purpose. And I know this is hard for some of us to really grasp, but look at Romans 8, verse 28. It says, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I am not saying that everything we go through is good. I'm saying that everything we go through, God works out for our good. There is a big and massive difference. Too many false teachers will say, you know, just come to Jesus and everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to be healthy and wealthy and you're going to prosper. I mean, that's the prosperity gospel. That's the name and claim it, word of faith gospel. All of that is garbage and nonsense. And people like Benny Hinn and Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and Todd White, they proclaim this garbage. Run from that. It is not biblical. Also, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. It says that even though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. What a beautiful promise, but it gets even better. Look what's next. It says, for our momentary light affliction is working out for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. I want to stop you right there really quick. Too many times we focus on the negative. Too many times we look at the situation or the trial in front of us and we get all, oh no, what am I going to do? And we start getting upset. We start getting depressed and it gets bad for us. You know, I have a client who says, you know, we get all emotional and those emotions go to other emotions and it kind of spirals downward out of control. We need to stop doing that. We need to get our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 says, I'm telling you, when you realize that God is working out those things and that he's granted us to suffer, that's in Philippians 1:29, we can have joy in the midst of trials. Number three, we are daily being sanctified, which means that we are being separated more and more away from our sin. I love the truth of the promise in Philippians 1 verse 6 that makes it clear that God is not done with you and he's not done with me. It says, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Please hear me say this, and many of you need to hear this today. You have not been abandoned. You are not left alone. God did not forget about you. He is working things out for your good and for your sanctification and continues to conform you more into the image of his son, Jesus. Please understand that if you are in him, these promises are for you.
Yes!
Number four, we are eternally secure. Oh, how I love this promise. Now, sadly, many false teachers and false churches reject this promise, and they are 1,000% wrong. According to John 10, verses 27 through 30, Hebrews 7, 25, and Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, just to name a few, because there are a ton of verses. When Jesus saves a person, they are saved forever. Now, I know people hate hearing, well, once saved, always saved. No, no, that's not a right doctrine. No, no, I'm sorry. I don't believe that. That's false teaching. Wrong. It is absolutely 100% biblical. But let me bring some clarity to it, okay? Now, when you are saved by Jesus, it does not mean you get to live however you want. You don't get to live on your own terms, and you don't get to live in a constant state of sin. Absolutely not. Because if you did any of those three, you know, just lived how you wanted to, lived in constant sin, lived on your own terms, then according to 1 John 3, verses 7 through 10, or 1 John 2:19, you were never saved to begin with.
It never happened.
But for believers in Jesus who he has saved, The promises in Scripture are that Jesus holds on to us and that Jesus never loses any, none, zero, that the Father gives to him. And Jesus keeps us from stumbling and presents us blameless before the Lord. That's Jude, verse 24. Number 5, we have an inheritance stored up for us in heaven. Isn't that amazing? We don't deserve anything like that, but how gracious is our God? See, the Lord has prepared this for those he has chosen to save. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5 says that God caused you to be born again, and he is keeping an inheritance for you in heaven. This is truly humbling, if you ask me. I mean, think about this a second. That God showed mercy and grace to wretched sinners like me and like you. He could have sentenced us to death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. We did not deserve eternity in heaven. We did not deserve an inheritance. No, we deserve wrath and punishment, judgment in hell for all eternity. But God lavished his grace and mercy on us. Colossians 1:13 says that he has transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Oh, you guys, and it gets even better. I got to add this as a footnote. Ephesians 1:11, it says that God has made us an inheritance for his Son, Jesus. Just pause and think about that for a second. I mean, for me, a wretched sinner who was lost and blind and dead in my sin, that God saved me, and now he's going to give me as an inheritance to the Son. I am a love gift to Christ Jesus. That is so incredibly humbling. If you have been saved, you will be an inheritance for Christ when you stand before him in heaven for all eternity. Number 6, Jesus is coming to take those he has saved to heaven to be with him forever. And I say a humongous hallelujah. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 is very clear on this, along with Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. And I don't know about you, but I long for that day. I cannot wait for that day where I stand before my God and my Savior, before my Lord and Master, and be able to look him in the eye and be able to say it was all worth it. It was all for him. To be able to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh, how I long for that day. And I hope you do as well.
Hallelujah!
That's loud.
See, these are 6 amazing promises that we should be reminding ourselves of every single day. So let me ask you the question, does God change his mind? Well, maybe this will help you.
God knows the end from the beginning. There is no new information for God to gain, for him to change his mind. Instead, it's an anthropomorphic term, which actually strengthens God's omniscience. It does not undermine his omniscience. Why? You need to read the whole Bible for that answer. Never read a Bible verse. That's where we get into trouble. And the atheists on the internet, ha ha ha, see, you say that God knows everything, but he changed his mind there, so clearly he doesn't. It's a contradiction. No, no, it's not. It's an anthropomorphic term for we humans to understand how God does things. He does not change his mind in the sense that he's learned something new and now he's going to go a different route. Instead, having read all of Moses' encounters with God, God promises that if I threaten you with a consequence, if you repent, get ready for this, I wrote this, if you repent, I will relent. That is God's promise. The Jewish people, prone to wander, God said, well, I'm going to threaten you, but if you repent, if you have a change of heart, then I'll relent. And that's what we see several times in the Old Testament. God had promised, I'm going to discipline you. They cry out for mercy and God changes his mind. No, he didn't. He knew that that was going to happen. He's just describing it in human terms that we can understand, not because he gained new information, but because he is making good on his promise.
See, too many times we have truth amnesia, and we forget about what Jesus has done for us and what he has promised us in his word. Or we listen to some goofy false teacher on the internet and end up in a theological ditch. And we believe things are absolutely not true. I'm telling you, there are plenty of people like Benny Hinn and Creflo Dollar and Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland and Bill Johnson and Joyce Meyer. And they were leading you straight to hell with a false gospel that's all about you. You got to sow a seed and you got to have enough faith and you got to do all these things and maybe you'll get something good in the end. No, I'm sorry. God is not an ATM machine. He's not your personal genie or your personal servant at all. And please understand, these promises are not based on your efforts. They are based on what Jesus has done and what he has graciously given to those he has saved. So here's a little bit of advice for you today. Stop looking at what others say about God's word and open up your Bible for yourself and see what God has to say. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you can rest in his word and rejoice that yes, God has broken the chains of sin and darkness in your life, but no, he never breaks his promises.